I want to take a look at an angle of Hanukkah that we haven't yet in this forum explored at all, and that is Ner Chanukah as being counted within Minyan HaMitzvot. So that needs a little bit of an introduction. If I was to ask the man on the street, how many mitzvot are there in the Torah, what would the answer be?
Tayag.
Right. We all know Tayag. People have license plates, people have bumper stickers, right, et cetera. We've got Gematriot, the famous Rashi that may not actually be Rashi at the beginning of last week's Parshim, Levangarti, Vatayag Mitzvot Shamarti. Good. Now, here is the source of that idea. The source of that idea is a midrash, a drasha by Rabbi Samloi, who is a third generation, the proper term is third generation Palestinian Amora, but that could get me in a lot of hot water.
Yeah, please don't use that word.
Why? My grandfather was a Palestinian. He was born in Mea Shearim, right?
Yeah, the
Well, remember
word has been hijacked.
what was the Jerusalem Post called before 1948? The Palestine Post. All right. Anyways, Iker. Rabbi Simloi was a Amora Eretz Israeli of the third generation, and he's probably best known for this drasha. It's at the end of Makot. Shesh me'ot u'shloshesrei mitzvot nemru lo l'Moshe. Okay, now that's key. Nemru lo l'Moshe. And shlosh me'ot v'shishim v'chamesh la'avin, 365 lotah says, k'minyanu v'chama. A mnemonic way to remember it is the solar year. Matayim v'arbeim u'shmona aseh, 248 mitzvot aseh. And based on Galen's anatomy, which we've kind of moved beyond, k'neged evarav shel adam, 248 limbs. That's not the number, but in any case, Amar Rav Nuna Maikras, or Rav Nuna, now in Bavel, says, hey, I've got a nice pasuk that will back this up. A way to remember it. Torah tzivah lanu Moshe morasha. Moshe commanded us Torah. Torah b'gematria sheit mi'av v'chad sari haveh. The gematria of Torah is 611. All right, so how does it get 613? The answer is Anochi v'lo yelecha b'pi'a gvura. In other words, Moshe commanded us Torah, 611, and two of them we heard directly from Hashem. By the way, there are many problems with this drasha. I'll just quickly point out one of them, because what does lo yelecha include? And why do we say Anochi and lo yelecha were heard directly from Hashem as opposed to the rest? Because in those dibrot, Hashem is in the first person. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, al panai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, el kana, etc. When you get to the next diber, which is either the second or third, depending on how you count, Hashem is already in the third person. So there's reason to say that they were communicated via Moshe, and this is directly. The problem is lo yelecha includes four mitzvot, but we're going to leave that alone. That's for a different point. Now, what is included in this list? The answer is we don't know. And Rav Samlai doesn't take the time to say, okay, mitzvah number one is this, mitzvah number two is that, mitzvah number 378 is this, etc. He doesn't do that. And throughout the period of the Gemara, nobody seemed to take an interest in taking this count as as some sort of a litmus test. What made it in? Or how do we reckon it or anything? Nobody's developed any sort of system by which we would decide what to count. Because if you count the times in the Torah that we are told to do something or to avoid something, it's way more than 613. So how do you figure 613? So the literature, which begins in the 9th century, and you're looking at probably one of the earliest examples of it, Halachot Gedolot, which is Rav Shimon Kaira in Bavel in the 9th century, is a literature that we call the literature of Minyan HaMitzvot, and it carries through until the 15th century or so. And it includes debates, disputes, argumentation, critiques, etc., of why certain things are counted or why they're counted the way they're counted or the amount that they're counted. Is tefillin one mitzvah or two mitzvot? Is tzitzit one mitzvah or four mitzvot? Are the arba minim one mitzvah or four mitzvot? All sorts of interesting debates. But it starts with the Halachot Gedolot. Now, the Halachot Gedolot starts off his introduction as follows: Darash Rabbi Simloi, and he quotes the Agadah, the drasha, sorry, and then he adds on a tagline: Kol mekaimam zocheh leolam haba v'chol aver aleihem nidon meshisha unashin. Anybody who violates these laws has one of six punishments, not all six, one of six. Skilas sofer v'chenek. Mitav v'karet umalkot. Mitav v'karet is kind of putting together, and mitav v'shamayim karet and malkot. And then he starts listing the mitzvot by the lotaseis based on the punishment involved. Eilon and Skalin, Eilon and Strafin, etc., almost based on the Mishnah in the Sugyot in Sanhedrin. And then later on, there's an ellipsis there, a big ellipsis. He goes, Ve'elu mitzvot kum aseh. After he lists all the lotaseis, which, by the way, the Rambam's approach was to list the mitzvot aseh first. However, in many of them, including the Urim, the lotaseis came first. Ve'elu mitzvot kum aseh. And then he lists, and then among them he lists, and I included here just a few, because they're unusual to us. One of them is Me'a brachot b'chol yom. Now, the idea that there is a chayuv to say Me'a brachot b'chol yom is based on a drasha, it's in Masachet Menachot, V'ata Yisrael ma Adonai Racha shol me'ma. Al tikre ma ela me'a. I think 10 brachot, 100 brachot a day. Kiddush Hashem, we know that mitzvah from the Torah, Havat Hashem, Yirat Hashem, La'avod L'Hashem, L'shavav Hashem, these are all explicit in the Torah, the Beik Hashem, the Lech B'drachav. All of those are part of that constant theological motto that almost animates Parshat Vetchanan and Ekev. L'halbish Arumim, look at that, to clothe the naked. L'kbor Meitim, to bury the dead. L'nachem Avelim, Bikur Cholim. Now, what's the problem with including these in Minyan Mitzvot? That means he's saying, to make up my list of 248 Mitzvot Aseh, right, I'm going to put in these items. Right? He ends up actually with 200, which is a little bit strange, but that's a Torah by itself. Why is this strange?
Well, first of all, he's going to run out of Mitzvot pretty quickly at that rate. And he's got a lot of things in there that have like absolutely no basis in the scripture, per se.
Right, which means he seems to be using a different calculus for counting them in and saying, I'm going to count all the things that are mitzvot, whether they're explicit in Torah or not. And then what defines what goes in there? It's a difficulty, you're right. He doesn't run out of numbers, as you could see. He actually runs short. What's his calculation? But notice he also adds in Ahavat Shalom, Tzedek Vemet. And then he adds in, and this is the point I want to get to, Ner Shabbat, and he adds in Ner Chanukah and Mikra Megillah. Not Megillah is much later, but Ner Chanukah, he puts it in Ner Shabbat, and Arei Umatem, Kol Achad, Achad Kumaseh. Now, as you probably know, the Rambam wrote Sefer Mitzvot, we're going to look at it in a minute, and in Sefer Mitzvot, he included a 14-paragraph introduction. 14-paragraph introduction is a very soft sell on what it really is. So we'll talk about it in a minute. And we're going to see that the Rambam's first address was to this issue. The first issue he took on was this issue. Because the Rambam wrote his Sefer Mitzvot for several reasons. And one of them was to rebut this position, which does not only exist in the Bahag, but also exists in several other works of the Gaonim, as we'll see. So I want to take you ahead. And that is Rasag. We all know Rasag, Rav Sadia Gaon, end of the 9th century. And Rav Sadia Gaon, who was the Gaon of the Yeshiva of Sura, he wrote a poem, which is the list of the mitzvot in poetic form. There is an amazing work done by Rabbi Yerucham Fischel Perel at the beginning of the 20th century, which is a commentary on it, which includes the poem and then his very lumdish commentary on his inclusion of the mitzvot. This poem takes about one page. It's a poem, and every word or two words is a mitzvah. It takes a page, maybe two. The work by Yerucham Fischel Perel is three very thick volumes with thin paper and small writing. It's an unbelievable work. Rav Lichtenstein was very, very fond of this work. And in the poem, he writes, Tuvo b'Pesach matzah u'maror, leva'er chametz u'lechalot, shvuot v'sukah v'lulav tkiyah v'inui v'machalot. Look at that. Each one of those is one of the mitzvot of the regalim, or the, right? Yarchei ibur Pesach sheni, right? The mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh and Pesach sheni. Simchat hachagim b'malot, k'tov zot remez Megillah. Notice, he includes Megillah here, V'ner yemei Chanukah ad kalot. That's a poem again. And you see the poetry. Inui machalot ad kalot. Right, which is based on Vayhi b'yom kalot Moshe l'kim to Mishkan. But v'ner yemei Chanukah ad kalot, which means the Rasag also includes mitzvah ner Chanukah in his list of the mitzvot. Now, as I mentioned, the Rambam wrote his Sefer HaMitzvot for several reasons. One, and by the way, Sefer HaMitzvot was written in Arabic, as the Rambam wrote almost everything he did in Arabic, unless they were letters to people who were not Arabic speakers. So his letter, for instance, his famous letter to Chachmei Marseille and to Chachmei Lunel, the one about astrology, and letters to Pinchas HaDayan, who was in Alexandria but didn't speak Arabic, were in Hebrew. And, of course, the Mishneh Torah. Everything else was in Arabic. And so Sefer Mitzvot was written for several purposes. One of them was to serve as an introduction to the real big work, which is the Mishneh Torah. Because if you look at Mishneh Torah, we're going to look at it in a minute, in a few minutes. If you look at Mishneh Torah, what we call the Rambam, you'll see that the that every section of Halakha is introduced with the Rambam saying, this section includes seven mitzvot. For asay, lo three lot asay, here's what they are. Ubiur mitzvot elu v'dinehem paprakim ha'elu. In other words, and the chapters that follow are essentially how to follow these mitzvot, which means that the Rambam hierarchically and thematically set up the Mishneh Torah to be essentially an expansion on Sefer HaMitzvot. Now, Sefer HaMitzvot, as I mentioned, the Rambam composed also as a response to the Bahag and to others who had come since him, who had a different way of counting the mitzvot, and the Rambam established what he believed was the proper way to count these 613, and he wrote a 14-paragraph introduction. As I said, that's a soft sell because the introductions of this introduction, each paragraph is called a shoresh, and each shoresh is thick and dense and meaty and deserving of much attention. To call it a paragraph is really nothing. And each one of the shorashim deals with a different thematic issue regarding counting the mitzvot. The very first thing the Rambam says, opening words, Hashorash HaRishon, is of course a translation. I believe this is Kapach's translation. She'ein ranu ra'ui limnot b'chlal hazeh ha-mitzvot she'ein mid-rabanan. Boom. It's the first thing he says. And what's his reason for that? Because he quotes the statement that says, Shesh me'ot u'shloser mitzvot nemru lo le-Moshe b'Sinai. And watch what he himself says in the first, in the second highlighted piece. Aval he'irunu alav, why are we mentioning this at all? Me'eshita'u bo rabim. Many people made an error. U'manu ner Chanukah u'mikra migila b'chla mitzvot aseh. How can you count ner Chanukah? Right? And he said, and later on he says, and he attacks other things. He says, people also counted, Bahag also counted saying Hallel. And so now here's the beginning of his attack. V'istakel mimishi yishma l'shonam nemru lo Moshe b'Sinai. The drasha is, the 630 mitzvot said to Moshe b'Sinai. V'yimne kriyat ha'alel sheshibayach bo David alav shalom. How can you possibly include Hallel, which is composed by David? By the way, the composition of Hallel is itself a question, and there is a Man Damar that was composed in the time of Moshe. But nonetheless, his point is, how can you say Hallel is a mitzvah d'oraita if it didn't exist yet? And then, of course, he comes with a big clamor, which is, V'yimne ner Chanukah shekava'u chachamim bayit sheni. How can you say that a mitzvah of ner Chanukah, commemorating an event that hadn't yet happened, and was established during or at the end or right after Bayit Sheni, is something that's d'oraita. That's very strange. And so then he says as his signal statement here, this shorish is much longer than this, what's it here? Amnam heyot Moshe nemar lo b'Sinai, shitzavenu, kikshiyeh b'acharit mamlachtenu, v'yikre lanu, im hayivanim kach v'kach, yitchayev lanu shenadlik ner Chanukah. So what these people will say, the Rambam says, and by the way, he's saying this with a real sting, is they're going to say what Moshe was told is when later on in history, when we have a fight with the Greeks, and this happens, you're obligated to light Ner Chanukah. I can't imagine anybody would actually entertain such a thought, or even consider it. And the Rambam says, The only way that you could get out of it and say that Ner Chanukah is Doraita is to say that Hashem told Moshe, later on in history, there will be a battle with the Greeks, and when that happens, I'm telling you to light candles. Right? Says, I don't believe anybody would fall for that, Kilu. Right? And the Rambam, by the way, has very good support for that from a very famous passage in the Gemara. The Gemara that probably everybody in the world is studying this week and next week, which is the Sugya of Chanukah in Bamei Badlikin. And Daf Chaf Gimel has this famous piece. We've looked at this piece from several angles in the past. Right? You have to make a bracha when you light Ner Chanukah. There's brachat haro'eh if you're not lighting. So the first night, Rav Yehuda says, if you're only seeing Ner Chanukah, you make two brachot, which we're going to say is Shas Anisim and Zman. And the Madlik adds, of course, Ladlik. Afterwards, when you light candles, you say two. If you're only going to see it, you say one. So you say you knock out Shachianu after the first day. We know that. All right, and then the Gemara goes on. What's the bracha you make? Now, by the way, if I stop at that point in the sugya, I have a great source for saying Chanukah is Doraita. Look at it. Thank you, Hashem, for making us holy through your mitzvot and commanding us to light Ner Chanukah. Sounds like it's Doraita. But the Gemara immediately does a turnabout, which is Vehechan Sivanu. Where did God ever command us to light Ner Chanukah? Right? Now, of course, in the Rambam's kind of needle, you would expect that the Gemara would then say, because Hashem told Moshe that if there ever comes a thing, then etc. Instead, what's the answer? Rav Yamar mi lo tasur. Right, which the Rambam, by the way, in Hachot Brachot, says the same thing, using a different pasuk. And this is the fallback position, we're going to read this Rambam, about all mitzvot that are derabbanan. How can you ever make a bracha on a mitzvah derabbanan? How can you say, asher kiddushon mitzvotav? So the Rambam says as follows, in Hachot Brachot, b'chein kol mitzvot shein midivrei sofrim. Right, the Rambam here in Perek Yud Aleph is talking about Birchat HaMitzvot. And he says, Mitzvot that are derabbanan, pei mitzvot shein chovah midivrehem, whether there's something obligatory, gon mikra migilah, v'hadlakat ner Shabbat, v'hadlakat ner Chanukah, all derabbanan, but all obligatory. Pei mitzvot sheinan chovah, also things that you don't have to do, gon eruv unetilat yadayim, meaning, you want an Eruv, set up an Eruv. You want to have bread, you have Netilat Yadayim. You don't have to do those things. You make the bracha. Behechan sivanu batorah. Where's this command? That's the same as lotasur, which is the when you have a question, you go to the Beit Din HaGadol, and whatever they tell you to do, you have to do. And now the Rambam explains and expands on this. Nimtza inyan advarim hasein kachu. That's an kachu, meaning this is how it should be understood. Asher kedusham mitzvotav tziva ba'en lishmoa me'elu shetziva likru ta megillah la'lik ner Chanukah. Meaning, asher kedusham mitzvotav tzivanu, he made us holy and commanded us to listen to the Beit Din that told us to wash our hands, or that told us to set up an eruv, or told us to light Ner Chanukah. And shar kol mitzvot shemidivrei sofrim. So that's the Rambam's expansion on this Gemara in Shabbat. And we understand where the Rambam's coming from. And the Rambam is saying very simply, it's very clear as day, the Chanukah is the Rabbanan. It's clear as day from this Gemara. It's clear as day from the fact that historically it didn't exist in the Torah. And so how can anybody count Ner Chanukah as a mitzvah in the count of Sukkot 13? So there is, of course, one general direction to take with the Bahag's whole list, which is Nichum Avelim, et cetera, et cetera. And that is to say that what the Bahag meant to do was to say that there are mitzvot that they, and to quote the Rambam in Hilchot Avelut, there are mitzvot which are a method of fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraita. The Torah, and just take the Rambam in Hilchot Avel, Perek Yud Aleph Halach Aleph, he says there's a commandment to do Kivurat Metim and Nichum Avilim and Bikur Cholim, etc. And even though all these things are Drabanan, they fall under the rubric of Ahavta L'Re'echa Kamocha. So the Rambam says, in brisker language, The chiyuv is derabbanan, but the kiyum is doraita. My obligation to do it is mandated by the rabbis, but when I do it, I'm fulfilling a doraita. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. So you could make the argument that Bahag and Rasag, Rav Sadia Gaon, felt that what gets included in the list is not just things that were mandated by the Torah, but things that when you do them, you're fulfilling something from the Torah. And what is it you're fulfilling from the Torah when you're lighting Ner Chanukah? Shevach, you're praising God for a miracle. And that's something that we already see in the Torah. Take a look in the famous She'iltot in Chanukah, right, where he quotes Yitro, Baruch Hashem, who praised when he heard about Yitziat Mitzrayim and the fact that when a nes happens, you have to thank God. Okay, so you can make that argument. The Rambam, just to fill out the picture of the Rambam, and I told you I'd show you this, in Hilchot Megillah v'Chanukah, in his introductory line, he says, Yesh b'cholan shtei mitzvot aseh midivrei sofrim, ve'ein nan min haminyan. He won't even tell us what they are, because we know what they are. Mikra Megillah and Adlakat Ner Chanukah. And therefore, they're not part of the minyan, they're not part of the 613, but I'm going to explain these two mitzvot, which are derabanan, in these prakim. However, here we go, and we're going to see something that will take us in a different direction. Rav Sadia Gaon also wrote an Arabic work of Sefer Mitzvot, which is more expansive. And we have this from a Ktav Yad. You can see it from the Geniza, from the Cambridge collection. Nichlal b'Kabbalah, he said that we had a tradition. Watch this. And by the way, remember the Rambam commented on this. Shekshiavo yom v'yatzilenu mizaro shel Amalek ya'asuhu yom tov. Now notice how vague he makes it. Not that it's going to happen in Persia, not that it's going to happen in Haman, but at some point in history, Amalek, who we didn't finish with Amalek in at the foot of our Sinai. We just got them to leave us alone, but they were not done. We didn't even finish with them with Shaul. We didn't finish them with them with David. That the day will come when we will have a battle against Amalek. They'll try to kill us and Hashem will save us. We'll make it a Yontov. How do we know that? Kakatuv, Ktov Zot Zikaron Basefer. Where's that? In passage 11, when Yoshua successfully defends us against Amalek, we have the following passage. Vayomer Adonai Moshe, Ktov Zot Zikaron Basefer. Write this down in a text. Uvesim Bozne Yoshua, teach Yoshua. Yimachom Ched Zech Amalek Mitachad HaShamayim. I'm going to wipe out Amalek. In other words, now back to the source 10 in the highlight. Look at that. When Hashem, the first piece is that we have an allusion in the Torah that there will come a time later in history when there will be a battle against Amalek. Write it in a text. Hashem says to Moshe. And when we're victorious, we'll make it a yontif. And the second thing is, Uchshiyitain Hashem nitzachon livnei Levi b'milchamtam im oyvehem. There will come a time that the Levim will have a battle and they'll beat their enemies. Yitzaynu et hazman ahu. They will make that time special. He doesn't say halakat ner Chanukah. He says they'll make the time special. By the way, who are the battlers against the Yevanim? The Chashmonim, who are Kohanim, Levim. Now, let's take a look at that pasuk. Parenthetically, the one about Megillah is something that's an explicit midrash, both in the Mechilta and in the Bavli. Ktov zot zikaron basefer. Zot is in the Torah, zikaron is in Nevim, and basefer is Megillah. However, when Moshe comes to bless Bnei Levi, he says the following, Barech Adonai Chelo, Ufo'al Yadav Tirtzeh. Hashem bless his strength, and essentially, Mechatmo Naim Kamav Mesanav Nikumun, let him strength gird his loins against his enemies so that they can't stand up anymore. Which means Moshe is blessing Levi in some sort of battle that they're going to be involved in, which is very strange, because Levi is the one tribe that doesn't go to war. So what is he talking about? So if Sadia Gaon says, this is alluding to a war later in history that's going to happen where Bnei Levi will fight and be successful, and therefore it's already alluded to in the Torah. And he says that's about Chanukah. Now, in Rav Sag's commentary on Daniel, he expands on that and he gives us a whole detail about, I'll read it, Umesanav, he quotes the pasuk in Dvarim. Hashem machatzit motneihem, komar yachniyem lifam v'yabdeim. Hashem is going to help Levi defeat their enemies. Uchshazor al masorot shebichtav shebal peh limtzom masorot al mechemet bnei Levi v'nitzchonam. And I look through our whole history and I say, where is there a place where bnei Levi win a war? Lo emtza davar kazeh levad mimasha yabit kufat hayvanim. The only place I can find anywhere in Jewish history that bnei Levi fought a war and won is Chanukah. And we have that in our history. After that happened, we had several hundred years of independent rule, of sovereignty. And now, once I read it, I realize that's what Moshe had nevuah about, which means he says, since Moshe has nevuah that one day Bnei Levi are going to go to war and going to win, that makes that battle something commemorative, commemoratable from the Torah. And I'm going to prove it. Notice, what did Moshe talk about in that bracha? Machatz motnayim, strengthen his waist, his hips, as it. And then he finds in Daniel that that's an allusion to the Greeks. And he brings something from Daniel, which once we get into that, it's quite a bit mystical. Unless you think that this is something that is the Rambam and all the Rishonim against this odd position of the Gaonim, you'll see in this passage in the Ramban in his commentary in the beginning of Et Hanan on the Isur of Baal Tosif, presents the following. I'll just mention it outside. He says, Baal Tosif, Rashi as famously says, what's Baal Tosif? Five tzitziot, five batim in tefillin. What's Baal Tigra? Three tzitziot, etc. Right? In other words, taking a mitzvah that has a numeric characteristic and changing it either up or down. The Ramban says that there are two manifestations of Baal Tosif. One of them is that, and the other one is La'asot mitzvah bifnei atzma. In other words, as an example, to make up a new holiday. And he quotes a story about Yaravan, who sets up a holiday in the eighth month to sort of be a month off of Sukkot when he sets up his Mishkashim in Beit Elon and Dan. He says that's a violation. Because after all, Eila ha-mitzvot, she'ein navi rishai l'chadesh davar mi'ata. You're not allowed to add mitzvot. You're not allowed to add new holidays. So now, how does Chanukah get added? How does Purim get added? Very difficult. By the way, how does all of Megillat Tanit get added? That's a different problem, all those days. But for right now, these two, Chanukah and Purim. And so it must be, and he quotes it here, that as he quotes the Yerushalmi, that the Chachamim were very troubled about setting up a new holiday called Purim until they found an allusion to it in the Torah. Right? Etc. Tov zot zikaron b'sefer, and b'sefer alludes to the Megillah, etc. Which means taking that same logic, you'd have to say that Chanukah has to be something that's also somehow found in the Torah by allusion or something, which then justifies making it as a holiday. So it's not just a question now of counting it as a mitzvah. It's a question of the whole mandate of Chanukah really rests on the ability, according to the Ramban, and the ability to find an allusion to it in the Torah, because we can't make up new holidays. By the way, the Rambam has a different approach to Lo Tosif. So I want to show you one last thing to kind of bring this all together. And it is a beautiful, beautiful Rambam that everybody really should read this time of year, every year. And also in the summer when we read Baal Otcha. At the beginning of Parshat Baal Otcha, which if you remember is right after the gifts of all the Nesim. And then, by the way, on the last day of Chanukah, we go to the end of Naso, and we read this, Baal Otcha Tanerot, and the Haftarah for Baal Otcha is the same Haftarah that we have the Shabbat also, the Haftarah, the Nerot of Zechariah. All right, Baal Otcha Tanerot. Rashi, on the spot, quotes, it's from Midrash Tanchuma, it's by the way, not in every Rashi, not in every Ktav Yad of Rashi, but it's in the Tanchuma. Lama nispecha parshat menorah l'chanukah tanasim. He asked the question, why is the menorah here? And the answer is, famously, that Aaron felt bad because every shevet brought, and Levi didn't bring, he didn't bring. And Hashem said to him, Shochag, Dolam, Yishalahem, yours is greater because you're going to light the Neirot. That's the famous Midrash. It was, by the way, in the version of Rashi that the Ramban had in his hand, because he quotes Rashi saying it. And he says, basically, I don't get why, if Aaron is upset that he doesn't have a chelek in the korbanot that were brought on those 12 days, that the menorah is going to make him feel better. So why not the ketoret? Isn't that like really amazing? How about the fact that you're the only guy who gets to go to Kodesh HaKodeshim? Your sons are the only ones who get to go into the Kodesh at all. Isn't that like bigger than the menorah? And so then he says, Hinyan HaGadah Hazu. And what it says is, it's just so, it's so delightful. L'drosh remez min ha-parsha al chanukah shel neirot sheita bayit sheni ayidei Aharon uvanav. Says, you know what Balotcha is doing? It's alluding to Chanukah. Rabbeinu Nissim, not the Ran who was the Ramban's cousin or a student, but Rabbeinu Nissim of Kirwan. She's Kir Hagadah Zu V'Yamar. Ra'iti b'Midrash. Kevan she'ikrivu 12 shvatim v'lo ikriv shevet Levi. Right, and this is the thing that Rashi quotes for the Mitachuma. And then Aaron was sad. Amar l'kadosh baruch hu l'Moshe, darel on martai lav, yesh chanukah acheret. This is what it said in Megillat Starim, in some mystical book. Yesh chanukah acheret sheyesh ba adlakat hanerot v'ani yoseh ba l'Yisrael ayidei banecha nisim u'tshuva v'chanukah shukriya al shmam. HaKadosh baruch hu tells Moshe, go tell Aaron, don't feel bad that you weren't involved in those 12 days, because your descendants are going to be involved in a great salvation. And the menorah will be the sign of that salvation. And notice the connection. What were those 12 days called? Chanukat HaMizbeach. What does Aaron get to do? His descendants will be involved in an even bigger Chanukat HaMizbeach. It will happen in Bayit Sheni. Right? And then, that's the Rabbeinu Nissim. Right? And then he says in Midrash Rabbah, we have another similar kind of passage about that. What we've seen over the past half hour is we started off with a very technical thing, which is that we have the famous drasha of Rabbi Simloi, 613 mitzvot, the issue of the literature of minyan mitzvot, and the big disputes that took place between the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th centuries about how to count the mitzvot. And many, many different chachamim got involved in this. And the literature of minyan mitzvot that spans pretty much those six centuries is prodigious. And in it, we found that the halachot gedolot and the rasag counted mitzvot derabanan, most notably for our purposes, ner Chanukah, as one of the 613. The Rambam lambasted that. And he said, how can you count Chanukah or Me'a Brachot or Mikra Megillah as them? They're not given to Moshe Mi-Sinai. He suggests this idea that maybe somebody would think that there's an allusion in the Torah or some Kabbalah that when we go to battle against the Greeks, da-da-da-da-da, and he poo-poos it. And a very strong proof for the Rambam is the fact that the Gemara, when defending the bracha on Ner Chanukah, defends it based not on an allusion to a battle with the Greeks, but the fact that when Beit Din tells us to do something, we're commanded by the Torah to do it. Very famous piece. However, what we saw is that Rasag himself, in his Sefer Mitzvot, it's in Arabic, actually pinpointed why he felt that Ner Chanukah was really Doraita. Because he said that the bracha that Moshe gave to the Levim was a reference, an allusion to their later battle with the Greeks. And then in his commentary on Sefer Daniel, he even says that in a more explicit way, as we saw here in Source 14. The Ramban seems to be sympathetic to this, because the Ramban's position is you cannot make up a new holiday. That's a violation of Baal Tosif. And therefore, it must be the case that both Chanukah and Purim, both as holidays and as mitzvot, Mikra Megillah and Ner Chanukah, are alluded to in the Torah, and that that's what we have here. And he develops that idea. And then the Ramban, separately from the issue of Baal Tosif, but in Bahalotcha, is in favor of seeing Chanukah as being alluded to already in Balotcha, and that that's the connection between Balotcha and Chanukah Tamizbeach. A very different angle, for me certainly, First time I've taught this perspective, a very different angle than we're generally accustomed to in looking at Chanukah as almost the classic mitzvah de Rabbanan, because we're all familiar with the Gemara of Heichan Sivanu, but we see that at least in the times of the Gaonim and in the Ramban, there are different perspectives on it, those that suggest that maybe there is a nimad d'oraita in both celebrating Chanukah and a mitzvah ner Chanukah. And everybody should have a Chag Urim Sameach.